Welcome to Conservative Voice Radio on KMET 1490 AM. You can listen worldwide and catch the podcast later at www.kmet1490am.com. My name is Douglas V. Gibbs. I am your host. You can learn more about me at douglasvgibbs.com. And I'm surrounded by members of the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party, Jan, Glenn, and Diane. And you can learn more about the Tea Party at bbcvteaparty.net. The first topic of this week is surrounds Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has been, as this email gate scandal moves on, it has been discovered that included on her personal servers are emails that had intel from the most secretive classified programs, so secretive that only 14 people have the top secret rating for this level, and she was one of them, and these were on her personal servers. So we'll start with Jan on this. What is your thoughts about what's going on with Hillary? And let me add this real quick. I'm a firm believer that the FBI has so much information on her, she could spend the rest of her life in prison, if not face execution for treason. But we've got Loretta Lynch, who is probably not going to indict. So not only do I want to know what you think about what's going on with these emails, but what do you think will happen as this information becomes more available and Loretta Lynch refuses to indict?
It will hit the fan, and in more ways than one. First of all, when you go back to this particular email dump, which, by the way, it got leaked out. They've been dumping what they have found in these emails over a period of several months, but they decided to delay it a whole month because of the snowstorm, which occurred within 24 hours. So then I started to say, gee, why are they stopping it and, you know, not getting it out to the public? And then I realized the Iowa caucus, the New Hampshire primary, and then South Carolina, and they don't want this information out, and it may influence voting, obviously. What was on her email was access, is special access program. It's called SAP, and it's really above top secret. As Doug pointed out, only 14 people have access to this info. What's in the info? It's human intelligence. What does that mean? That means if you're a covert CIA person and you're in a foreign land and you're giving human intelligence back to home base, Washington, you could be outed through these emails. What does that mean? You could be killed. So this is really, really serious.
Now, in Watergate, what we wound up seeing was from Nixon, as Watergate was beginning to develop, as people were getting fired. And it wound up becoming this huge meltdown and battle and fight, and it exploded in ways that the media just, you know, ate up. I believe this is going to explode even more so than Watergate did. What do you think, Glenn?
You mentioned about Nixon and that period. I was one of the million people that sent telegrams demanding something be done with Nixon when he started firing officials within the federal government. As far as Hillary Clinton, according to Tom DeLay in an interview with Newsmax TV, the FBI is ready to indict Hillary Clinton, and if its recommendation isn't followed by the U.S. Attorney General, the agency's investigators plan to blow the whistle and go public with their findings. And former U.S. House member leader Tom DeLay had that meeting with Newsmax TV. And Steve Malzberg has a show on Newsmax. He says he has friends in the FBI to tell him they're ready to indict.
Yeah, matter of fact, I was watching that program when that discussion was going on, and this is where I got a lot of my information about how I think this is going to explode bigger than Watergate. I think the FBI does have information that we couldn't even fathom.
One more comment. Glenn Beck just endorsed Ted Cruz up in Iowa, and he gave his speech and everything, and when he did, he had one simple line. It says, Hillary Clinton should be in jail. Everybody in the room, hundreds, maybe, I don't know the number, they all stood up and gave the loudest cheer and everything. When all the networks, which were all there when this took place, reported it, they dropped that completely out. That really had people cheering. This gal needs to go to jail.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that the left, statists, people like Hillary Clinton, she seriously does not understand the problem here because she's above the law as far as she's concerned. That she's untouchable. I think she literally does not understand what the whole hubbub is about. And that's the reason why Obama also doesn't understand the hubbub about, like, executive orders. They believe they're above the law. Constitution and the laws on the books are just obstacles. The ends justify the means. What do you think, Diane?
Well, you can look back at Benghazi. Oh, it was a video. It was a video. But right when they said that, that's right before the Obama election. It's right before the elections. Okay, here we have it again. It's right before, you know, the caucuses are going to be and stuff like that. And so this is just another example of the Clinton arm showing its muscle. This is what I think. I think the left is downplaying her using her personal PC. And they're saying that, oh, no one ever saw it and this and that. But, you know, when you take top secret off of a document, there's a felony there. And this is not just me saying this. This is according to legal experts on Fox News, for like Napolitano, for example. I've heard him talk about this. And so I don't even think she should be running, and I agree with my partners here. She should be in jail.
Now, Fox News, here's what they, to capitalize on what Jan was saying, there are sworn declarations from the intelligence community that cover several dozen emails containing classified information determined by the IC element to be at the confidential, secret, and top secret SAP or SAP levels. According to the declarant, these documents contain information derived from classified IC element sources. Intelligence from a special access program, as Jan told us, or SAP, SAP, is even more sensitive than that designated as top secret. As were two emails identified last summer at a random sampling pulled from Clinton's private server she used as Secretary of State. Access to the SAP or SAP is restricted to those with a need to know, because exposure of the intelligence would likely reveal the source, putting a method of intelligence collection or a human asset at risk. In other words, people could be dying because of her actions. Currently, some 1,340 emails designated classified have been found on Clinton's server, though the Democratic presidential candidate insists the information was not classified at the time. There is, quote, there is absolutely no way that one could not recognize SAP or SAP material, a former senior law enforcement with decades of experience investigating violations of SAP procedures told Fox News. It is the most sensitive of the sensitive. Final words.
My final word is, she keeps saying, I never received or sent classified information. If you are the Secretary of State, everything you are reading is classified. This is the nation's business. You have no business using your private home. And what is a server? I need to point this out to anyone out there who perhaps doesn't have a computer or doesn't know how this works. When you sign up with a provider, they have a server. Verizon has a huge server, and your information and your mail goes there on its way everywhere else on the internet. What she did was she said, I don't want the government server, which is very secure. I want to put this little box in my home, and all of this classified info goes in and out of her home. Well, P.S., the Russians and the Chinese love to hack those situations. So she's been hacked, most definitely.
The reason Hillary Clinton put that server in her home is because she was selling information from the State Department to business people all over the world to get hundreds of millions of dollars pumped into her foundation so she could pay $10,000 a month to people help her get elected president, running around all over the country, living off that foundation. I think that's what she's doing. And I think what she thinks, her supporters, even if she commits an act that causes the death of intelligence agents, they will vote for her anyway, no matter what she does.
And I also think that there's people like General Petraeus that are getting demoted who did less wrong than she has done.
There's a Republican that thinks like Hillary Clinton called Donald Trump. He recently said he could go shoot people on Fifth Avenue, and his supporters would still vote for him.
That's scary.
When we return, the Obamacare penalty, the city of Beaumont's new council member, and you're not going to believe what's coming up when it comes to guns in the hands of the drug cartels. When we return, that and more, don't go anywhere.
Hungry for a delicious handmade pizza in your neighborhood? Antonia's Pizza in Cherry Valley is just the place for made-to-order pizza, even gluten-free pizza. Roasted chicken wings, pasta, lasagna, chicken or eggplant parmesan, fresh salads, sandwiches, even burgers. The family dining room has lots of games for the youngsters, making it a great night out for the whole family. Antonia's Pizza's Christian owners have been happily serving their Pass area neighbors for more than 25 years. This family place to be is located at 10400 Beaumont Avenue in Cherry Valley. It's open 7 days a week at 10 a.m. Planning a birthday party and after the game event, any catering party, be sure to call Antonia's Pizza at 951-769-8822 for their specials. Find them on Facebook or the website antoniaspizzacherryvalley.com.
Special thanks to the Farmhouse Restaurant. They are located between Banning and Beaumont, just off the Highland Springs Road. The local tea party meets every Tuesday at 8 a.m. for breakfast and once a month on the second Thursday for fellowship of like-minded conservatives. Find food and dining at the Farmhouse Restaurant.
Did you know that home sales are up 7% in Riverside County? If you're considering buying or selling a home, commercial space, or some land in the Pass area, interest rates are still at an all-time low. Consider Cherry Valley Realty, the oldest realtor office in the Pass area. This family-owned company has been in business for more than 40 years, and they're happy to say that so many of their customers come back after selling or buying a property. Stop in, take Cherry Valley Boulevard exit off the I-10 freeway to Beaumont Avenue. It's located at 10385 Beaumont Avenue in downtown Cherry Valley. Or call them at 951-845-2637. That's 951-845-2637. Or check the website at cherryvalleyrealty.com.
A lie goes around the world before the truth has a chance to put its pants on. At Conservative Voice Radio, hosted by Douglas V. Gibbs, we're here to help you put your pants on.
Are you fed up with what's going on in politics today? I bet you answered yes. We're in a mess and something's got to change, especially in California. Democrats spent almost $20 trillion and the poverty rate for women, blacks, Hispanics, all minorities have gone up. The middle class and small business are being stifled with regulations and higher taxes. Democrats want open borders and they want illegals to have even more entitlements. Democrats oppose voter ID, which means your vote might be open to fraud. They want sanctuary cities instead of looking after the safety of American citizens. They oppose investigating Planned Parenthood for selling aborted baby organs. Stop voting for the same party and expecting different results. Make a difference. Join the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. We meet the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. The Farmhouse Restaurant in Banning.
Welcome back to Conservative Voice Radio. I am Douglas V. Gibbs, your host. You are listening to the program on KMET 1490 AM and worldwide at www.kmet1490am.com. You can also get a podcast there in case you missed a part of the program. Next on Barbie, Americanism 101, a very interesting and important issue. Obamacare penalty is upon us. Are you going to pay a penalty or did you, well, pay the penalty of getting Obamacare? We've got this Obamacare, the Unaffordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it, program, and the penalties by the IRS now is in full swing. How much is the penalty if you don't have insurance?
Let me give you a rundown on the penalties. You're looking at 2.5% of your total gross income, or $695 per adult, and $347.50 per child, up to a maximum of $2,085 per year. That's what you'd be putting
out. So if your penalty at the 2-something% is lower than the 600 whatever, then you'd pay the 600 and something.
Right. Right. And okay. You're looking at a substantial amount of money, and you get no insurance for that.
Now think about this for a second. This president said, we're going to make sure everybody in America has health care, and the way to do it is to force everybody or we'll penalize.
It's already...
How is that not a problem with the voters that can't afford this? this stuff?
It's already been well documented that Obama lied after lie after lie all about Obamacare.
He said he was going to save $2,500 a family. Well, it sounds like that's what you get to pay on a penalty if you don't have it.
And the,
it's like
and
the opposite.
And the, your premium prices are going up. The insurance companies, you know, of course, they were for this because they knew about the mandatory insurance buy. So they figure, okay, we have all these customers coming, but it's really designed to destroy the insurance industry, is it not?
That's the name of the game.
Yeah, the insurance companies were invited to the White House for dinner, and they didn't realize they were on the menu.
Good way of putting it. Okay, so Glenn, do you know the average cost per family if they do get Obamacare? Because I was looking it up for a moment, what it would be for my wife if she had to go through the Obamacare website. And only her wages, so her wages alone, what she makes alone, is below poverty level. So she would get a part subsidy, and it would still cost, what was it, $140, I think, a month.
What's the deductible? That's the key.
Oh, yeah, the deductible was something we would never reach.
Right. Deductibles are anywhere from $3,000 to $12,000. And when you've got a family that was on an employer health care plan where the employer was paying part of it and you were paying part of it, you got dumped last year out of that program and you got put in Obamacare. And all of a sudden, you either were paying with those phenomenal deductibles or you were subsidized. So then you became a ward of the state. You were being subsidized.
Now, I've been saying all along that Obamacare was created to fail because it couldn't succeed because the goal is single payer. And Bernie is calling for single payer. But also what has happened is there's been some serious problems with Medicare and Medicaid by Obamacare. Money's been removed from these programs because of Obamacare. And there's all kinds of Medicare problems that are arising from this. Diane, what can you tell us about those problems?
I'm going to speak as just an ordinary citizen here because I'll tell you what, until my mother had some issues, I really didn't understand the difference between Medicare and Medi-Cal and a lot of the issues there. But I'll tell you what, people that worked hard for a living and tried to get somewhere and got a pension, what have you, they get the short end of the stick. People that didn't work for a living, for example, and I'm sure there's a lot that did work for a living too that didn't get a pension. But let's just say the people that didn't work for a living are getting, you know, the full platter. They're going to get everything taken care of for them. But the people that worked hard for a living and got a pension, and let's just put it this way, the people that got a pension and they get the Social Security and their total retirement income is still in the poverty level, hello, you know, between $1,500 or $2,000. Try to live on that in Southern California. They're not going to get in-home nursing and they need it. If you have a parent that has senility or Alzheimer's to the point where they're going to either hurt themselves or, you know, others or what have you, they won't even admit them. You can't even admit them because the insurance doesn't cover it. It's really unfair. It's unfair against the people that work for a living. It's unfair against our seniors. It's like saying we don't appreciate our seniors. And I could go on and on about it. It's just,
well,
it's just
Diane,
terrible.
Didn't you mention what they took out of Medicare for Obamacare? Didn't you tell me that number?
I think it was $500 million. $500 million out of Medicare. They just totally robbed Medicare. It took it all out of there, and then all of a sudden,
I heard it was $700 million. But regardless of what the number is, it's a big chunk. Part of the problem here, though, too, is you've got all of these baby boomers are hitting this age, and Obamacare is designed for the healthy to pay for those who can't afford it, or the unhealthy. There's more of those who can't pay because of the baby boomers than the young workers. And so if you're at the bottom, if you're making a good living, the amount that you're paying is astronomical, especially compared to what it would have been before Obamacare. So it's really, for lack of a better word, it's really ruining any future for a lot of these people because they can't even set aside money for their own retirement because they're putting it all into this health care for the baby boomers.
Yeah, and by the way, 8 million people were taken out of their employer plans and put into Obamacare, and now they're touting there are 10 million who have signed up for Obamacare. By my math, that means only 2 million have signed up. So that means a lot of people are going to pay penalties this tax season.
I think the purpose of this whole bill, if they can get 10 or 12 or 15 million people that have very little income, get free insurance, that's a big block of votes. that they're going to get. And that's what they're after.
Sure it is.
Buying the vote so they can have a one-party system,
right,
which is a progressive leftist democratic system.
And once again, too, they're trying to collapse the whole medical care, health care system. They want single payer. They want socialized medicine. But they knew they couldn't sell you socialized medicine. You wouldn't take it. So they could say, here, we're helping you. They collapse the system, and you say, oh, now we don't know what to do. Government's going to have to step in.
More regulation.
And it opens up for the single payer system.
It's the frog in the water thing. Mm-hmm. You can't throw a frog into hot water, but if you put him in cold water and slowly turn up the heat, he never knows he's for dinner.
That's okay. A good analogy.
Okay, any final words on that?
Well, here's how much I hate this thing, and I'm talking about these penalties especially. Just penalize somebody because they choose not to get it or they can't afford to get it.
Choose not to purchase a service.
It's un-American.
Right.
It's anti-freedom. So in other words, this really gives the insurance companies the go-ahead to raise their rates even more as well. And what was that old song? I owe my soul to the company store. Remember that song? So as other insurances go, so will this health insurance. And the people, it's hitting hardest the lower middle and the middle class, the working community.
Well, the thing is, too, is this is the way I like to explain it, is darkness never reveals itself as darkness. It reveals itself as an angel of light. They start with something good. Hey, but it's a wonderful thing, but it opens the door for future abuse. A great example is like when the McDonald v. Chicago case about Chicago banning handguns happened. And when the Supreme Court told the city of Chicago they could not ban handguns because of the Second Amendment, and everybody was contacting me saying, well, it's a win for gun rights, and I said, don't be so sure. Understand what just happened. The federal government dictated to a city what it can and can't do regarding gun rights. Maybe for a good thing now, but now you've opened the door for that kind of abuse against the city or state by the federal government. And that's the same thing here. You know, we are opening this door, and a lot of people believe it's good on the surface, but it's opening the door down the road, future consequences for it to be a very dangerous thing. All right, next topic, local. Beaumont has a new city council member. Tell us about it, Glenn.
The Beaumont City Council voted 3-1 to replace Jeff Fox, councilman that passed away, with Dr. Della Condon, and she's going to come up for re-election in this November.
What do we know about Ms. Condon?
I don't really know anything about her. I just seen this on the banning patch, looked it up, and I thought that'd be something interesting to tell people about. We have a replacement for Fox on the city council, so we have a full staff city council.
Well, this is an opportunity for local listeners to get involved. We want to learn more about this city council member, Councilmember Condon. What kind of person is this? Should this person be re-elected? What do you think? 1-800-350-2637. Extension 912. Let us know. What do you think of this person? 1-800-350-2637, extension 912.
That's great, Doug, because we need to be more active in our community. After all, Beaumont's had issues, and they're trying to work them out at the moment. However, I think it's not a time to be sitting home, you know, during the council meetings, watching TV. We should be finding out what they're doing for our city, because we love our city. We want to make sure it grows and it's healthy, and the council members are working on our behalf. So I think that's great.
It stuns me from city to city when I talk to people how they don't go to their council meetings and they really don't know anything about their local city politics or the names of their local council members. After this break, we're going to be discussing a rifle capable of taking down a helicopter was found at the hideout of a major drug cartel leader and the election. Cruz, Trump, Rubio, Carson, it's getting interesting. Palin is involved. Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, Bloomberg, and what's going on with the Democrats? Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So join us again after this break, and we will go through those stories and more.
Did you know that home sales are up 7% in Riverside County? If you're considering buying or selling a home, commercial space, or some land in the Pass area, interest rates are still at an all-time low. Consider Cherry Valley Realty, the oldest realtor office in the Pass area. This family-owned company has been in business for more than 40 years, and they're happy to say that so many of their customers come back after selling or buying a property. Stop in, take Cherry Valley Boulevard exit off the I-10 freeway to Beaumont Avenue. It's located at 10385 Beaumont Avenue in downtown Cherry Valley. Or call them at 951-845-2637. That's 951-845-2637. Or check the website at cherryvalleyrealty.com.
If you want to learn more about the United States Constitution, buy the books by Douglas V. Gibbs, The Basic Constitution and 25 Myths of the United States Constitution. Or you can also check out his latest book, Silenced Screams, Abortion in a Virtuous Society. Find the links to purchase these books online at politicalpistachio.com, and the links will be at the top of the page. Also check out Doug's Constitution classes in Temecula and Corona, douglasvgibbs.com, to learn more about those. And the Constitution Association meets on the first Saturday of each month. Go to constitutionassociation.com to learn more about the group.
Ever wonder why we can't discuss politics? Well, you just haven't had the Democrat dictionary handy. For instance, invest in our infrastructure means more government spending. Revenues means taxation. Choice means pro-abortion only. Common sense gun safety means gun control. Refugees is a nice term for illegal immigrants. The unvetted, the undocumented, radical jihadists is really just workplace violence. And now you know why we can't even discuss what's happening in our country because the Democrats speak a different language. Get informed. Get your copy of our working document, the Constitution, at a Tea Party meeting near you. The Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party meets on the second Thursday of the month and weekly for breakfast at the Farm's House Restaurant in Banning. Learn a new language. It'll really help you at the polls when you vote in November.
We in America do not have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Thomas Jefferson. Welcome back to Conservative Voice Radio, right here on KMET 1490 AM. A 50 caliber rifle found at Joaquin El Chapo Guzman's hideout in Mexico was funneled through the gun smuggling investigation known as Fast and Furious. A 50 caliber is a massive rifle that can stop a car or, as it was intended, take down a helicopter. Officials found a number of weapons inside the house where Guzman was staying, including the rifle, and when agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives checked serial numbers of the 8 weapons found in his possession, they found one of the 2 50 caliber weapons traced back to the ATF program. Federal officials say that they're not sure how many of the weapons seized from the Guzman house actually originated in the U.S. and where they were purchased, but they are investigating. Out of the roughly 2,000 weapons sold through Fast and Furious, 34 were 50 caliber rifles that can take down a helicopter. Any thoughts?
That's scary. And considering they put a hold on any information in the Fast and Furious program, just to recap here, folks, the government, which always creates wonderful programs, right? Well, this was a program whereby they would take American guns, give them to the cartel. Yes, you heard it right, the cartel. And supposedly they would then follow the guns and be able to make arrests and what have you. However, no one ever followed the guns. Well, I think that there was another agenda here. They wanted the guns to be found in Mexico and say, see, these are American guns, and look at this. We need to have more gun control. Well, you know what? Congress had several hearings on this. Eric Holder was called in contempt of Congress because he wouldn't answer questions. He was like, I'll get back to you on this. Congress never found anything substantial on this. And the program, as far as we know, is still in use.
I'm concerned about the drug activity in the United States being because of the Mexican cartels, with the cooperation of people in this country, are flooding our country with drugs. And I understand on the East Coast, in New Hampshire particularly, that that's a major issue, is the drugs that are flowing into that area. So, yes, it was the federal government that actually provided guns to smuggle them into Mexico to make the gun industry look bad in the United States. That was the purpose for doing this, and it's led to the death of Border Patrol agents, have been killed. Probably numerous Mexican citizens have been slaughtered and killed because of the Obama administration's plan, the Democratic Party, to get their ways on gun control. So that gun, them guns, can be used to shoot down American planes.
Diane?
So,
well, it's all done for gun control, and which is people control. It's all about control. And I think we need to wake up and open our eyes. All about control.
Now, think about this for a second. We armed drug cartels. So we've made the drug cartel stronger. They're capable of using these firearms against citizens of Mexico, and they're crossing the border. And we've had Border Patrol agents, you know, shot and killed by these drug cartels. Now, by making these drug cartels stronger, by giving them firearms, one asks how easily they could be used against us in other ways. For example, how much do you think a terrorist organization would be willing to pay a drug cartel, or how much a drug cartel would be willing to take to shut down maybe an electrical grid in the United States?
This is true. That's the frightening part of it. And we know that they have found Middle Easterners trying to come in through our border. And so when you've got the cartel, which is trying to make money, and the terrorists trying to get in, and then there are guns involved in all of this, it's a very frightening situation. And the Democrats want the border open. Well, just remember that, folks.
They don't seem to see a danger with the drug cartels. I mean, they do. They claim there is, but yet, by arming them, they apparently think this is something that they can control, and I don't think they're looking at the potential, or maybe they are, potential consequences, how this could lead to terrorist organizations and a greater problem. And I've been saying for years on my own radio programs and on my website that the national border and the illegal immigration, it's a national security issue.
Well, they've definitely curtailed the Border Patrol. You know, they're not arming our Border Patrol officers, and they're definitely not supporting building a fence, that's for sure. Talking about Barack Obama.
A couple of years ago, I had a Border Patrol agent call into my program, Constitution Radio, and the Border Patrol agent said, our biggest problem here when it comes to illegal aliens, not that I mean to shift gears here, is that we keep giving them stuff. If we quit giving them stuff, mm-hmm. they will stop coming. Then secure the border for national security reasons, because potential terrorists are coming across for other reasons. Now, that said, when I was on Al Jazeera America, they kind of hammered on me about my claim that it's a national security issue, and I told them there had been a study at the San Ysidro border crossing where they had found that 1 out of 3 illegal border crossers were of Middle Eastern descent.
And they've found Korans on the border. Mm-hmm. They have found Korans on the border, Arabic writing. I mean, come on. They're withholding this information from us.
All right, next. It's time for our segment. We're going to talk about the election. Okay, we've got, let's see. Sarah Palin is now backing Trump. Now, I've never trusted Trump, but on the same token, I like what he says. Sarah Palin stumping for him does make him a little more palatable, not a lot. I'm not necessarily a Trump fan, per se. Like I've told people, I don't know if he necessarily believes what he says. And then you got Cruz, who's in second, but he's way behind him. I mean, I was looking at one of the polls, and it was like 40-something percent for Trump and like 13% for Cruz, and then Rubio and Carson were like right around 10, 9, 8%, something like that. So we got these candidates, this fight, got Glenn Beck speaking out against Trump. What does the establishment say? What the evangelicals, the Tea Party, saying about these choices? Kind of mentioned what I thought of Trump. What do you guys have to say about this? Go ahead, Glenn.
This is a very important election. This could be the deciding factor, because if Donald Trump sweeps Iowa, he could go all the way. And that would, to me, I would be very disappointed. I've been supporting Ted Cruz. I want to just say on Donald Trump, he just came out recently and said he could stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot people, and his followers would still support him. That sounds like Obama, something he would do. I think the problem that we're facing in this country is illegal immigration and potential Muslim terrorists coming into the country.
And those are the topics he has zeroed in on.
And the American people recognize that, even though the Republican establishment won't acknowledge it. The Democrats are actually using it to try to develop a one-party system
in
the United States.
About it, and that's why he's at the top of the heap.
He come out and hit the two issues right on the head in a very forceful manner and shot to the top of the polls. But if you look at his history, he doesn't have a conservative history. So people with a little bit of knowledge on politics do not trust him. But the Republican establishment, there's some of them up there that would rather see Hillary Clinton elected than a conservative like Ted Cruz.
Okay, now before Jan and Diane chime in here, I want to ask two questions, one of which I asked last Saturday on Constitution Radio. Number one, if Trump wins the nomination, would you vote for him in the general election for president? And number two, my co-host on that program said no. Both of them said no. What is your thoughts about their answers? Jan, why don't you start it?
I would definitely vote for him. I will not do what the evangelicals did to Romney, and they stayed home. We have to realize that if anyone on the left is elected, here is the choice. We have someone that may be indicted or a socialist, okay? Is that where you want America to be?
Think about
I'm
that.
Sorry, I would rather pick someone like Trump. You know, in actuality, when you think about his platform, he is running as a third-party candidate within the Republican Party.
Yes, he is.
And by the way, that might be a good thing. We wanted to grow our tent, right?
Right. Well,
we just did with Donald Trump.
Well, I talked about Donald Trump and Jasmius on my program. Says, well, he's not a Republican. I said, well, for a lot of people, that's the point.
It is the point. So think of him as maybe a blue dog Republican, a moderate Republican.
Now, you're not saying necessarily that you are stumping for Trump, but if he got it.
No, I'm for Cruz.
Right,
but,
okay.
And here's the thing. There's an agenda by the establishment, folks. Watch this. Listen to this scenario. They want Trump and Cruz to go at it. And they're sitting on the sidelines and going, yippee-yahoo. You know why? They're going to push their establishment candidate forward when those two duke it out and possibly with a circular firing squad get rid of each other. What do you think, Diane?
Oh, yeah. Bush has already started with his commercials. You know, he's an establishment guy, so he's one of the guys that could emerge. Chris Christie could emerge, too. He's kind of establishment. I even think that Rubio's kind of establishment, too. But here's some of my take on these things as well. As far as Sarah Palin endorsing Trump, you have to remember that Sarah Palin once made a statement that she was in favor of the Palestinian state. And you know what? I always remembered that about her. I know that Cruz isn't. I don't believe Trump is even for a Palestinian state. Within Israel, we're talking. I knew that Huckabee wasn't. I don't think Rubio would be either. But Sarah Palin, so she's backing Trump. So there's another. Glenn Beck is a good endorser to have on the side of Cruz. I'm for Cruz.
Well, Glenn Beck has not only been supporting Cruz, he has spoken out directly against Trump.
The people that don't like Trump, they really don't like Trump. That's the thing. But that's because you either really like him or you really don't like him.
Well, he was a longtime Democrat, and a lot of people don't believe that he's turned over a new leaf. And as I've indicated to people, because of his personality, his narcissistic personality, he would be the Republican version of Obama in the sense of using executive orders to bypass Congress and that kind of thing. And even if it's for what we would think is a good reason, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about those consequences. You're opening these doors. And that's why I'm not sure I trust Trump. And that said, on Saturday, when I asked my co-host if they would vote for Trump if he got the nomination, they both said no. And I did say yes, even though I don't trust Trump, because if we get a Democrat, we know what's going to happen and it's all bad. But if you get Trump, there's a chance.
I would vote for Trump.
That would go in the right direction.
But let me ask you something, and you need to clarify this for our listeners. When you say you don't trust Trump, you don't mean a la Hillary Clinton that he's crooked. You mean from the standpoint that he's a real conservative.
Well, he's a conservative, that he's a conservative, or that he's going to act in a constitutional manner based in favor of what he says. I don't know if what he says is what he believes.
Right.
And,
that's
what I thought you
meant.
Because he knows how to market himself. He's a businessman. He knows how to market himself.
Does.
And so he's marketing himself knowing that immigration and Islam and all that's going to stir the base. He knows what the base is. I mean, it's just like Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was a statist. He wanted the president of the United States during the Constitutional Convention to be a king. But he was one of the authors of the Federalist Papers, and his Federalist Papers were pretty good for the most part. Why? Because he wanted the Constitution to be ratified because it was a step in the right direction for a bigger government, but he held back his statist views so that everybody wouldn't be appalled. So he tempered his statism in order to get out his message. That's what I think Trump is doing.
Yes, I agree.
Message for the people in Banning, Beaumont, and Cherry Valley. Donald Trump come out and said he could shoot people, and his followers would still back him and vote him into office. Now, that's a way of saying my followers are stupid and ignorant. They'd vote me in if I commit murder. My prayer is, and I'm praying about it, that the people of Iowa, the vast majority of them, are intelligent enough to understand he just said they're stupid and unintelligent and would vote a murderer to be their candidate.
Well, what he's saying is he's a celebrity just like Obama, and that his celebrity is so strong that he can win elections with it, even if he did something appalling.
That's embellishing. He really wouldn't shoot people, but he's embellishing it.
He's
exaggerating. Yeah. I can do any damn thing, and these people are going to vote for me.
But wait, I said this about Obama. About a year or two in, I said the man could do something on video, and the people that are loyal to him wouldn't care. They would say, well, he had a reason to do it.
No, they would accuse
he was
the,
justified.
They would accuse the Republicans
it was
of
a far
right
conspiracy, whatever. And so you have the other side of the coin with Trump.
It's too bad that Trump and Cruz still aren't united because, you know, they would be so much stronger. Trump could be so much stronger if he didn't keep shooting himself in the foot and if he didn't keep hurling out these insults, especially to Cruz.
And Cruz could temper him a little bit.
Well, I don't think he's going to change. I don't think Trump's going to change. But
I think if Donald Trump went all the way, I think he would backslide on the immigration issue and probably the Muslim issue.
You may very well be right. When we return after the break for the final segment, we're going to answer the question you all are asking. What's the difference between a communist and a socialist, or for that matter, a socialist and a Democrat? When we come back, we'll answer the question.
Hungry for a delicious handmade pizza in your neighborhood? Antonia's Pizza in Cherry Valley is just the place for me to order pizza, even gluten-free pizza, roasted chicken wings, pasta, lasagna, chicken or eggplant parmesan, fresh salads, sandwiches, even burgers. The family dining room has lots of games for the youngsters, making it a great night out for the whole family. Antonia's Pizza's Christian owners have been happily serving their Pass area neighbors for more than 25 years. This family place to be is located at 10400 Beaumont Avenue in Cherry Valley. It's open 7 days a week at 10 a.m. Planning a birthday party and after the game event, any catering party, be sure to call Antonia's Pizza at 951-769-8822 for their specials. Find them on Facebook or the website antoniaspizzacherryvalley.com.
Special thanks to the Farmhouse Restaurant. They are located between Banning and Beaumont, just off the Highland Springs Road. The local tea party meets every Tuesday at 8 a.m. for breakfast and once a month on the second Thursday for fellowship of like-minded conservatives. Find food and dining at the Farmhouse Restaurant.
Here's another Tea Party Minute from the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. Want to know what we're about? We think we need to let people know that their opinion counts and that even one voice can make a difference. We need a better voice in our state and federal governments. We need to secure our border. With the threats today, we need this more than ever. We need school choice for all of our children. We need to stop identity politics. It separates us all in this great nation. We need real energy independence. Allow the Keystone Pipeline. Allow drilling again. We need real health care, not the bureaucracy of a government-run insurance policy. And there's more. Check us out on Facebook at bbcvteaparty.net or join us at our monthly meetings on the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. in the Farmhouse Restaurant in Banning.
Here's another Tea Party Minute. The American citizens of Hispanic heritage vote and its continuous Democrat support have accomplished what exactly? What have you gotten for your vote? To a great extent, you helped turn the tide to elect Barack Obama. And what did you get for that? There are approximately, right now, 93 million workers considered not available and not counted in the employment workforce. To make things worse, amnesty will come along and it will hurt the numbers even more as illegals eliminate 60% of your jobs. You have voted for candidates who will favor abortion and gay marriage. Are these Hispanic beliefs? The Democrats at their last convention offered cradle-to-grave benefits. How does that fit with your hardworking beliefs? It is time for American citizens of Hispanic heritage to dump the Democratic Party. Join us at bbcvteaparty.net.
Time for the final segment on Conservative Voice Radio, KMET 1490 AM. Yours truly, Douglas V. Gibbs, is the resident constitutionalist, and I get asked at least once a day, sometimes two or three times a day, and it cracks me up that I get asked this often. What is the difference between socialism and communism? And I'm sure this will lead into Democrat Party and democracy and progressivism and all that, but first, let's just talk about socialism and communism. Socialism is the road to communism. It is the way to bring about communism. Socialism is where the big government comes in, takes complete control of the means of production. And then eventually what's supposed to happen is the society is led to communism, which is utopia, where everybody works together. It's a communal society, and they dance in the daisies or whatever it is they do together, until eventually socialism is no longer needed and it fades away. And my first response when I talk to people about this is, have you ever known a big government to fade away? And number two, communism isn't really truly possible and has never truly existed. So just that right now, what's your thoughts?
Well, they all work against the good of they're all for the good of the state, but not the individual.
Well, individualism is dangerous because only it's a collectivistic system. Only the collective is wise enough. Individuals make dumb, personal, greedy, decisions, selfish decisions and all of that. And so, therefore, the individual can't be trusted. And now you've got, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll ask me also what's the difference between like socialism and fascism and all that. But anyway, getting back to what we're talking about, what do you think about the communism, socialism, what I explained about it, and what do you have to tell the listeners about it?
I probably a millennial is not listening, okay?
I wish
it's
they would
8 a.m. on Saturday. You're probably sleeping. But for you
or
to go to a Bernie event, and be all smiles and say, yes, I'm for socialism. You need to do one thing. Do me a favor, okay? You listening? 1-800-GRANDMA-GRANDPA, okay? You ask them about socialism, what it really is. What are the countries that were toppled over socialism? What are the countries that killed their own citizens over socialism? Okay, it sounds nice on paper. What it means is you will take from someone that is producing and give it to someone that's not producing. But let me put it on your level, millennial. You're in college. You work very hard and you get a B+. And someone next to you doesn't really care, doesn't show up for the lectures, and he gets a D. However, the professor is a socialist, so at the end of the term, you all get C's because he took from your B+ and his D and came up with something for everyone. You're all equal. Well, in time, what will you do, millennial? You'll stop working. You'll just take the C.
Well,
that's socialism.
Socialism seeks equity, but equity is not equality.
No.
What's happening right now in the United States with liberty and freedom and capitalism became the richest country on the face of the earth, created a big pile of wealth. And when that happens, you have politicians come in and demagogues, and they'll start talking about taking the wealth away from people that work for it and actually own it as private property and distribute it to buy the vote. And they promise socialism, where everybody's equal. They're going to spread the wealth around and everything else. Well, the reason we have wealth is because of liberty and freedom. And socialism takes that away from you.
Amen.
Communism is just is when the socialism finally gets full force and it's gone, it collapses into a state of chaos.
Well, the socialists will argue all that wealth, it's not fair. It's not fair to those
poor
people.
Well, that's the argument they use. That's the argument they use.
And you talk about how America became this wealthy nation, and the socialist says, yeah, isn't that horrible?
Well,
how unfair is it to the rest of the
world?
Now, we stole their wealth.
Right now, we live in a country that's a capitalistic, somewhat free country, although the government regulations are killing everybody. And our poorest people in this country live like kings compared to most people in the world.
We have to remember, too, is that the socialist and the progressive and all these people are big government types. They believe that wealth is finite. In other words, it's like energy. It cannot be created. And therefore, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. If someone at the top gets something, someone at the bottom's losing out. They don't believe that the pie expands. The pie stays the same size. So if you took a bigger piece, someone else is getting a smaller piece. They don't believe in the creation of wealth.
The disparity in wealth in the United States right now, where you got a lot of super rich and then you got a large middle class and getting more and more poor people, has happened because of government interference in the marketplace and regulation. They caused this to happen, and they did it on purpose.
And you know who they are? They're progressives. When someone says to you, I'm a proud progressive, they are leading you on the road to socialism because it's full of regulations, oligarchs, major companies running the country. That's what progressivism.
That's like we're looking in the mirror.
Now Diane, there'll be people that'll say, well, the United States is already socialist because we have fire departments and police departments, and government paves the roads instead of private parties and so on and so forth. Is that socialism?
Well, you need some kind of cooperation. But I was going to say
that's
something else.
That's not socialism,
Doug. If I got a second here, there's another ism called fascism. And a certain person that's occupying the White House right now, his studies and his papers, et cetera, pretty much show that it's closest to fascism.
Well, that's interesting you bring up, because if you look up fascism, remember earlier when I was talking about socialism, is where government takes over the means of production. They own the means of production. They control the means of production by owning it. There is no longer any private ownership. Mm-hmm. In fascism, they allow the private industries to continue to own and be a private industry, but what they do is they bundle regulations so that the control is so stiff through regulation that the state still controls the means of production.
And I'll give you another definition for fascism. Mussolini.
Yeah, well, that was Mussolini's, that's where it emerged, that's how it came about. And so now we look at this president. How does this president do it? Has the government taken control, or are they controlling the means of production through heavy regulation?
I think they're doing both. Remember with the Chrysler situation GM, in early on in his presidency, he literally closed down 800 Chrysler dealerships and then handed the company to a European company. I was horrified, and I thought, this is un-American. How are people just being silent about this? These dealers were one day working, making a great living, and the next day they were unemployed. How is this happening?
Redistribution of wealth. And understand, this is not anything new. Samuel Adams called the redistribution of wealth the schemes of leveling. It existed even back then. All right. We are all finished on the program now. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us here on KMET 1490 AM. And I'd like all of us to say goodbye to our audience.
Adios.
God bless you.
And we'll see you next week right here on Conservative Voice Radio. KMET 1490 AM, 8 AM every Saturday morning. We'll see you next week. If you want to learn more about the United States Constitution, buy the books by Douglas V. Gibbs, The Basic Constitution and 25 Myths of the United States Constitution. Or you can also check out his latest book, Silenced Screams, Abortion in a Virtuous Society. Find the links to purchase these books online at politicalpistachio.com, and the links will be at the top of the page. Also check out Doug's Constitution classes in Temecula and Corona, douglasvgibbs.com, to learn more about those. And the Constitution Association meets on the first Saturday of each month. Go to constitutionassociation.com to learn more about the group.
Here's another Tea Party Minute from the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. Did you see the Democrat debate? I was shocked to find out that Hillary Clinton considers half the country her enemy. Listen to this.
But a final question to each of you. You've all made a few people upset over your political careers. Which enemy are you most proud of? Secretary Clinton?
Well, in addition to the NRA, the health insurance companies, the drug companies, the Iranians, probably the Republicans.
Here's a memo to Mrs. Clinton. After 7 years of identity politics and failure to compromise with the other party, we have a candidate who has already compared that party to Iran. Yes, she thinks the Republicans are her enemy. Wow. And you want our vote? I don't think so. I want this country to heal, not more division. Let's pay attention and elect a real leader.
Special thanks to the Farmhouse Restaurant. They are located between Banning and Beaumont, just off the Highland Springs Road. The local Tea Party meets every Tuesday at 8 a.m. for breakfast and once a month on the second Thursday for fellowship of like-minded conservatives. Find food and dining at the Farmhouse Restaurant.
The preceding program was produced by the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. You can visit their website at bbcvteaparty.com, and by Douglas V. Gibbs. You can learn more about Doug at douglasvgibbs.com. We would like to thank our sponsors, Antonia's Pizza, located in Cherry Valley, Cherry Valley Realty, and the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. This program came to you on KMET 1490 AM and worldwide at KMET1490AM.com. United we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America, my friends. God bless you. We'll see you next week.